singing along. Good to see you tonight, and appreciate you being faithful this evening as we come together to pray, and appreciate your faithfulness over the course of the weekend, and just good services from what I heard, and we're able to just be a blessing and a help over in Port Macquarie as they celebrated their first year anniversary. And then over there in at Faith, just support the conference over there. And just some great meetings there. It was a blessing for us to just be part of it. And I believe over the course of those couple of days, there was a couple of people saved and a couple of just good decisions for the Lord. So it's always encouraging to see that in different places, especially in our nation. And so it was just a great time all together. And, you know, we survived the drive down. I was driving. And then we survived the drive up. Jabez was driving, so I can tell there was a lot of prayer. But we had a great time together. So, but I appreciate you, church, for being faithful. Of course, you were here Sunday morning, and you heard Brother Michael's announcement about just God's call on his life. And that's an exciting thing for us as a church. And so be praying for them. And the date that they've looked at launching is on the 17th of March, so only a handful of days really until they go ahead and do that. If I could ask you to please just consider, if you have the time on the next two Saturdays to go out and letterbox the areas surrounding the community center where they're going to meet in Sanford, if you have the time, please make yourself available. What we'll do is send out a text in the next couple of days about the details on how to get there and where to meet them. But if you could, just be an encouragement to Michael and Paula, and just saturate the area surrounding the community center. That I know that'll be a blessing to them. And so let's continue to pray for them. Exciting days as they launch out and start a work for the Lord. And that's really what it's about. It's about the gospel at the end of the day. And we want to you know, just rejoice in that. But I know Sunday, yeah, we're going to take a little bit of time to recognize them and as a church, just pray for them. I think it's important to do that as we see the work of God just continue and grow and they launch out by faith to start the work. But let's turn our Bibles to Genesis chapter 3 and then also 2 Timothy chapter 1. You know, we really are living in times that really unprecedented. It just seems to be that over the course of the last many years, there's been just more and more reasons for people to fear. And fear is at an all-time high. It in many ways grips many people in just the way they live, in the way they approach life. There's a great amount of uncertainty about the economy and the future of things. We look around and there's all these wars happening all around our world, and we seem to be at a knife's edge at times about what's going to happen and the implications of that even in our nation. There's a lot of, you know, the falling out from the whole COVID time and just people's general approach in life. And, you know, I think if we're not careful, that can bleed into our hearts and minds as Christians as well. And we understand from as we read Genesis chapter 3 that often the response that we have when we're in uncertainty or we've come to a place like the first man here, Adam, and his wife Eve, they're fallen. And now they've come to a place where they've sinned and they're no longer in fellowship with God. And one of the first responses of that, notice with me in verse 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where art thou?" And he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden and I was afraid, because I was naked and I hid myself." And there's immediately within the context of this perfect world that had just fallen, one of the earliest senses that man had was to fear, was to just be afraid. You know, you think about this creation and you could only imagine the beauty of it. You could only imagine what it was like to be Adam and Eve and be sinless and to walk with God literally. To be amongst all of the new creation and to understand some things that were taking place, the working of the garden, all of that, and yet sin comes into the world, and immediately one of the responses is to be afraid. And now we live with that, don't we? There's a fear that just sometimes engulfs us. There's a fear of the uncertainties of life. Suddenly, there isn't the complete understanding of how life really works. And we can find ourselves in situations that don't immediately make sense, and the response is to be afraid. And, you know, if we're not careful, fear can be the very thing that creeps into our hearts that becomes debilitating. It could be the way that we approach life. Suddenly we're hindered, and suddenly we feel weakened, and suddenly we feel unable to even take another step. And, you know, as I think about that recently, in sitting and talking with a few people, I begin to understand that fear can become the thing that grips the heart, that causes us to really not see life the way we should. And that's a subject that really Paul is dealing with Timothy here. Timothy is now a few years into the pastorate. He really has gotten some of the experience that he needed from being a young pastor in 1 Timothy to now 2 Timothy. But still, there's an encouragement from Paul here. So if you turn there with me in 2 Timothy, and we see this admonition that we'll read down to in verse 7. In verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. And he goes on and he calls to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. So he wants to reiterate to Timothy that he has an unfeigned faith. That means it's a real faith. And he says he first saw it that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. And he's saying, remember the time when you were commissioned. Remember the time when there was a recognition of the gift of God in your life. And he's trying to help him to recall some things. And there's a reason. Something had started to grip the heart of Timothy, who at this point was a lot more of an experienced Christian and an experienced pastor, and yet still something was starting to grip his heart. And I want you to see what it is in verse 7, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And he's reminding Timothy, his dearly beloved son in the faith, this one who had journeyed with him and seen perils and seen all of those things, and yet still, in all of that, in all of his experience, now he's again gripped by this thing. And he's reminding Timothy that he ought not to be gripped by the spirit of fear. You know, many times fear can be really the factor that determines whether we do something or not. And there's some fear that is good. We understand that we ought to fear God, and we understand that whole thing, that really the fear of God alleviates all other fears. There's a natural fear of death. There's a natural fear of danger. And there ought to be a sense in us that we understand that and recognize that. But what he's speaking about here isn't those kinds of fears. He's talking about a spirit of fear. He's talking about that spirit of fear that could grip us, that could overtake us and overwhelm us to the point where really we need the encouragement and we need to be reminded about our purpose, about our calling, about what we're here for, about what we're supposed to do. And I think there's times in the fearful world that there's many Christians who are just gripped by fear. They're fearful of the responses of the lost. They're fearful of what it means to have a testimony. We're fearful of the unknowns that are propagated through different types of media. And we start to buy into a world full of fear, and suddenly the spirit of fear has taken over. You know what fear does? Fear allows us and makes us see things that aren't really there. And I think the language of the letter suggests that Timothy was needing an encouragement after a time of difficulty. And what had happened as a result of that was Timothy was gripped with fear. There was a spirit of fear. And perhaps you've observed over the course of the last many years more of a gripping of fear. There's fear-mongering in our world today. And there's a spirit of fearfulness and a spirit of fear that really permeates every part of society. Governments are fearful. Businesses are fearful. Churches are fearful. And many times a Christian is fearful. And yet, there's an encouragement here for us as well that we ought not, the Bible says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear. That's not of God. He's saying he's not given us that. And so he's reminding Timothy and he's reminding us tonight that that's not of God. That fearfulness and that timidity and that gripping of fear that can happen in our lives, that's not of God. And fear, actually, when fear is a motivator to not do things that are right and to not go on for the things of God and not go on to do right in our lives, is not a great motivator and it's not a great spirit at all. It's not from God. And he's saying, God hath not given us the spirit of fear. And really, that's the problem with this thing, is it's not God-given. You know, in the scripture, the exhortation that Paul gives Timothy was to one who was fainting during a time of great need. Timothy was allowing those present situations to make him fearful. And this wasn't just a mental state. This was causing him to feel hesitant to act. And that's the spirit of fear. It renders you incapacitated to move forward in your life. And I think many people are that way. Fear stops you from going forward if you would allow it. For us as believers, though, God didn't give us over to fear. And as I mentioned already, fear at times is part and parcel of life. Yet what we need to be careful about is that fear shouldn't be permanent. Fear shouldn't be where you land. And what we learn here is the problem with fear. And what it is, it's a spirit of fear, meaning it's unseen. Meaning it can't easily be detected. And what it is, it's unseen, but it's got clear implications. There's some things that you know, we can't see that when it's in there, it makes a big difference. And fear is like that. You know, fear is a creeping enemy that is in stealth, and fear can come suddenly and quickly overwhelm us. Fear makes us see things that aren't there. You know, you ever walked with your children and suddenly they stopped in their tracks? Why? Because there's a silhouette in the foreground as they're walking to it, and in their imagination, in their fearful state, they start to see something take shape that's not there, right? We can creep ourselves out and we start to look at things at a different lens, and that's what fear can do. Instead of helping us look in with great accuracy and with a clarity of mind, fear can fool us into thinking that something is there when it's not. And so what we find is that there's that fearfulness that can abound in our hearts, and that effect in our lives can become debilitating. It saps us of energy for tomorrow. It saps us of energy to have faith. It saps us from an ability to reason clearly and to think calmly. And Adam when questioned, responded with his fearfulness. And you know what he did? What that caused? It caused him to misconstrue God's character. And that's what fear can do in your life. It could make you misconstrue what God is actually like. And so we've got to be careful that Timothy was exhorted to stir up his gift and remember what God wanted to do in his life. The 12 spies, they went and they thought they were grasshoppers in their sight. Why? Because fear had settled in. And this subtle enemy can have some destructive results. And you know, the fact is that it's subtle. It can creep in. It could come from a thought. It can come from an insecurity. It can come from a perception that is not quite true. And we've got to surrender our minds to that obedience to Christ. We've got to surrender ourselves not to the spirit of fear, but actually the Holy Spirit of God. Because if God didn't give the spirit of fear, then there's an alternative. God's given us something else. And tonight, as we think about the many things that we can say we're afraid of, I want you to note that God has given us something that's the alternative. And notice there again in verse 7, really easily tonight, he says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but he has given us a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind." Notice how this is really an alternative, but an answer to our fear. You know, the Bible tells us that there's another choice when fear comes. That actually God gives us what we need. He doesn't give us a spirit of fear, but he has given us the spirit of power, the spirit of love, the spirit of a sound mind. And God gives us another choice. And the alternative is faith and trust. And the alternative is to choose this way. The Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." You know, there's many people who are unsettled in their lives, unsettled in their responses, unsettled in their choices. Why? Because they're gripped by fear. But for the Christian, there's another choice. For the Christian, there's been given an answer. We're not to take on the spirit of fear. We're not to allow fear to overwhelm us. But in Christ, he's given us a means by his spirit's dwelling in us of this alternative to it. And really, he says, firstly, it's a spirit of power. And the word power describes really our might in Christ. You know, we find strength in him. You know, in our weakness, in our insecurities, in our times of trouble, in our times where we feel a little less certain, we can come to him and draw into his strength. And so we have a spirit of power. You understand that from the very outset, as the Lord Jesus ascended up on high, really the whole purpose of that too was so that the Spirit of God, the Comforter, the Spirit that guides us onto all truth, his power dwells in us. And we have the power that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there's a joy in that. And what that is this power, this spirit of power is really our energizer. You know, where the spirit of fear can sap us of our energy and our will to continue on, relying and being filled with the Spirit of God, with the Spirit of power energizes us to just continue on and step forward anyway, despite the circumstance. It's an energizer. It's a spirit of fear. And you know what that tells us is that often when there's that choice to be made, often when we don't step forward because we feel powerless, it's actually because we've bought into the spirit of fear instead. And so we ought to be energized and we ought to have that spirit of fear, but of power. But notice the next one, it's a spirit of love. And love is one of the parts of the fruit of the Spirit. Right, love in this sense is the agape love of God, which is his care, which is that supernatural love that we can only sense and we can only comprehend because we understand God and know his love. The Bible tells us to owe no man anything but to love one another. And what that is many times fear demotivates us. Fear discourages us. Fear makes us untrusting and unwilling to take that extra step to be a help and to meet the need of others. And what love is, the spirit of love, it's our great motivator. We're motivated by love. That love that God puts in our hearts because of His love for us then flows out into the lives of others and helps us to move forward in those areas. And fear usually, what it does is puts us in survival mode. It puts us in self-preservation mode. And at times we can just think about ourselves when we're in a spirit of fear. But being in the spirit of love helps us to be motivated by the need of others and motivated by the things that we can do to be a help and a blessing. And God gives us the ability then to love. And so that's our great motivator. It answers the problem of fear. It answers that discouragement. It reminds us that perhaps there's others that need us, and through love, we're able to then take another step forward. But then the last one, notice this, He's not given us a spirit of fear. He's given us a spirit of power, of love. And then notice the last one, it's of a sound mind. And what a sound mind is has to do with self-control. It's the idea that you won't lose it in the midst of trouble. You ever notice some people that just seem to be calm when they're in the midst of trouble? You've ever been in an accident or in an emergency situation? Aren't you glad that those ambulance officers, those aren't the type that's a little bit panicky, right? Aren't you glad that they're calm? And that's what soundness of mind is. It's a strength of mind. It's a soundness to understand. And what it is, what this sound mind is, it's an answer to fear. It's a clarifier. Because what happens when we fear is we don't think straight. We see things that aren't there. We misconstrue what reality is. And yet the opposite to that is a spirit of love, a spirit of power, of love, and then lastly, of a sound mind. It's a soundness. It's the times where we're trying to comprehend, and God gives us a spirit of understanding, a calmness about the situation. And He's saying that He's given us a sound mind. You know, when the world seems to lose its collective minds, it's the Christian that should have the soundness of mind. It's the Christian that should be in a mode that goes beyond their circumstance and has that comprehension of things in Christ. And we have the ability of a sound mind. And you know, in Philippians 4:7, the Bible says this, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And you know, one of the things that we have in our weaponry is that helmet of salvation. It protects our mind. And in many times, the battle is both won or lost in the mind. And yet all of us here tonight, if you're saved, there's an alternative to that spirit of fear. It's a soundness of mind. It's a spirit of power. That great energizer that if we would just walk in the Spirit, if we would allow the Spirit of God to work in our hearts, actually energizes us for the work. Energizes us for that next step, and we don't need to fear. It gives us a spirit of love and that great motivator, but also it's that great clarifier. It's a sound mind. And that's your alternative. That's your answer to fear tonight. And I don't know about you, but you know, we live in a time where we can excuse ourselves to think, well, it's a fearful time. And sure, there's circumstances that are out of our control. There's things that we look around, it can be feared, but you know what? God has not given us over that. God has not given us a spirit of fear. He's given us a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. All right, Pastor Phil, thanks.